We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. Here with you for the next hour as we get you ready for NFL football. We're asking you to download that radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in the car as often as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station, want to listen to the show. How do you do it? Simple. Download the radio.com app. That's where you catch us when you're on the go. Take that device and download it. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet that you've got, your Walkman, your Casio watch, your Nintendo 64, your Sega Genesis, your Palm Pilot. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to find out what's going on with us in the show is through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me. You can find me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing this show. As always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So, busy night, even with just the hour here, as coming up at 8 o'clock, we've got NFL football, week 3 kicking things off, Dolphins, Jaguars. Take it for what you will, but listen in on the station here as at 8 o'clock. We'll take you over to NFL football as we keep rolling along in the NFL. So far, so good. No hiccups or anything like that, other than all the Falcons injuries and such like that. Speaking of Falcons, Tori McElhaney, who now covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic, she will join us coming up in the next segment. So we will talk to her as we get ready for Bears and Falcons coming up, and I'm going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes here. We're watching Braves, Marlins, maybe. Rain delay. Now, I've not seen an official start time. But here's the thing about this that I was reading earlier today. If this game gets canceled, because this is the final game in this series between these two teams, if this game gets canceled and the Marlins need this game for playoffs or seeding, they'll have to play this game on that off day before the National League playoff starts. Right? So remember, the AL starts, whatever it is, like Wednesday, and the NL starts on Thursday. Now, if I'm the Braves and I have to play that game, unless it affects my seeding, like I could be 2 instead of 3 or vice versa, whatever, and maybe it's a better matchup, but short of that, if I'm the Braves, I'd forfeit the game. I literally would have Charlie Culberson pitching. I'd have Luke Jackson at first base. I'd have Alec Jackson at third base. I'd play Inciarte because he could use a little bit of play. I'd have every ham and egger. Yeah, Nick Markakis. Well, he'd hit cleanup. He'd hit third and fourth. That'd be how he'd be the number three hitter is like that. I'd have every ham and egger I could come up with. I'd have Tuki Toussaint playing second. The last thing I would do is play a game on my off day before the playoffs. I'd tell Rob Manfred to go screw himself. In fact, if they want me to send the message, I'll cut a promo on Manfred and Major League Baseball for it. That's how opposed to anything that resembles having to make this game up. No thanks. No thanks whatsoever. I'd have Luke Jackson hitting cleanup. I'd insult the entire sport with the players I'd have out there. I'd call guys that have been in Rome to come up and play for a night if I had to. I'd get cardboard cutouts at a couple of positions if I had to. Not a chance in the world that I'd play a game like that. So that's the potential fallout if this game doesn't get played. Now, last night, Atlanta United, what a great gutsy win. Hanging on, fighting, scratching, clawing, creating some chances. I like what I saw. Lorenowitz with the penalty kick. That's the difference maker in it. That's a big-time win because, look, everything going against this franchise, we talked about FC Dallas red hot coming into this thing. Four wins, one loss, three draws in their last eight matches. They only lost once since August 12th when they lost to Nashville. So they've been on fire. I think they were third in the West coming off of three straight wins and a victory over Kansas City. Big-time win. Great job by Atlanta United. Now, they'll be back in action against, I think FC Chicago is still the worst team in the East. So go get you three more points. Go get you some. Build off this momentum. Build off what you did last night and go get three more points against what I think that they, the last I checked, a couple days ago, a few days, weekend, they were like last in the East in points. They've been the worst team in the East. So that game will come up Sunday. What a busy weekend we got. So we've got NFL football tonight. Now, unfortunately, we won't be with you tomorrow night because we've got NHL playoff action. So Stanley Cup Finals takes place tomorrow night. Of course, I'll be back with you on Saturday morning, college football game time, as the real opener comes in now, as we get ready for SEC to get things kicked off. So I'll be with you from 9 to noon, myself, Chris Goforth, Randy Mack. College football game time coming up Saturday. Sunday, of course, Falcons and Bears. Then we'll have Atlanta United later on at 7 o'clock with Jason Longshore and Mike County on the call there. So we got a busy weekend, lots of play-by-play. And I think we'll have the NHL Stanley Cup all the way through for you for however long the series lasts. So we'll have all of that here on 92.9 The Game. So we got a lot going on over these next few days. So we got a lot to squeeze in tonight with you, okay? So as I said, we'll talk to Tori coming up in the next segment. Man, Jarvis, unfortunately we don't have time unless we can bump the game for What's Bugging Chuckery because there are two low-hanging fruit, ridiculous items that are sitting out there. I mean, the pinata is like the size of the Goodyear blimp, about 3 feet off the ground between Mark Jones and Colin Coward. There are two low-hanging fruits, maybe literally, but it's a shame. We might have to bump the game because both of these stories are just absurd. Absurd with what's going on. So unfortunately, we won't have time to get to all of that. But Falcons-Bears coming up Sunday. So keys to the game. You know, you look at this Bears offense, they haven't done a lot as far as scoring points go. But they are one of the better rushing teams in the NFL. They've run for 284 yards the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, Trubisky's been okay. He's not been anything, you know, super great. I think he's averaging 208 yards a game or 216 yards a game this season. What is it? He's got 216 yards a game this season, but only 59.4% completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, which is not terrible. So the thing is that first and foremost, defensively, Falcons have to control the run game. You know, Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, you know, they even get Cordarrelle Patterson involved in the run game. Trubisky's got 42 yards in two games. You know, as I said, they've run for 284 yards, you know, on the ground in the first couple of games this year. So one is control the run game. Keep them under control. Don't let them, you know, get off on it. They're actually 11th in the NFL, sorry, 9th in the NFL in rushing yards. So they're the 9th best rushing team in the NFL. So defensively, you got to get after them in the run game. I make Trubisky have to beat me. But at the same time, try to knock him down. Consistent pressure on the quarterback this week. Run game control, consistent pressure. I want Trubisky to have to try to go out there and beat me. Certainly a different quarterback than what the Falcons have seen the first couple of weeks. Certainly not the same athleticism and ability to get out and extend plays for the long and make plays with his legs as much. Like I said, he's got 42 yards, so it's not like he can't run at all. Don't be fooled into thinking that he's going to stay a statue and he can't run some, but it is different than when you have Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. So you've got to get consistent pressure out of him, but it starts with stopping the run. They want to run the football, run it heavy, run it first. You know, they don't look like necessarily a 2-0 team, but let me tell you why they're 2-0. Because their defense, for all the things about, their defense is basically about lights out. They're third in the NFL for fewest points given up. They are 16th in the NFL in yards given up. They're the number, 19 pass defense in the NFL, the number 11 rush defense in the NFL. Now, it's early, so it's hard to get too many takeaways, but they've only given up 36 points in two games. Hell, the Falcons scored more than that by themselves last weekend. So the biggest thing for me on offense is you got it when you get the opportunity to score touchdowns, you need to find a way to punch it in the end zone. You don't want to play into the Bears' hands of kicking field goals and keeping it a low-scoring game. You know, if you had to get into a shootout, which I don't know how you get in a shootout with their defense, but if you had to get in a shootout, this game massively favors the Falcons. And by the way, as crazy as this sounds, you know the Falcons are the betting favorite in this game on Sunday. The Bears are actually coming in here as an underdog at 2-0 versus an 0-2 team. That should tell you some things about what Vegas thinks about the Falcons and the Bears in this situation. That the Falcons are actually the favorite in this game. So they have to capitalize on when you get in the red zone, you've got to find some touchdowns. You have to find a way to score a couple of touchdowns because you want the Bears to have to try to be a come-from-behind team, which does not play into what they do. Their identity is very simple. We play great defense. We don't give up a lot of points. And we can score just enough on offense to win. That's been the formula. You know, 59% completion percentage in the NFL, that's not a good number, you know, in the CFL, let alone in the NFL. If they let Trubisky go off and play like the quarterbacks, the way the quarterbacks have played the first 2 weeks. And by the way, you could call last week must win and this, that, and the other. Oh, there's no question about the fact that this is must win and then some. Whatever term you can use that goes above and beyond must win, that's Sunday for the Falcons. 0-3? Yeah, it's going to be a wrap. You're going to have at that point not just three losses, two at home, and three conference losses. That's almost impossible to try to make up at this point. Slow the run game down. Force them to have to throw, score touchdowns when you get the chance in the red zone. Take advantage of your red zone opportunities. Make them play from behind. I don't care if you run it, throw it, but you got to make them play from behind. All right, when we get back, Tori McElhaney will join us. We'll talk Atlanta Falcons with her when we get back. It is John Chuckman Show, hanging out with you on this Thursday evening, headed toward the top of the hour, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and on that radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening as we head toward the top of the hour, and we'll get you ready for NFL football as Jaguars and Dolphins get week three of the league season going here this evening. 404-741-0929. That would be our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Of course, radio.com apps, I listen to the radio station outside the vehicle and when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, as we just talked about, Falcons, Bears coming up Sunday afternoon. All of your action right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. 11 o'clock pregame, 1 o'clock kick. Dave and Wes will be on the call for all of that. But here to help us figure out what's going to happen this Sunday, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons, for the Athletic. It's our friend Tori McElhaney joining us here. You can follow Tori on Twitter at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us on Thursday. And let me say first, Tori's going to be joining us on Fridays. Now, because we don't have a show tomorrow night because of NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Tori's going to be joining us here on Fridays moving forward through the season to help us get ready for Falcons football on these weekends. Tori, appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
Oh, Tori, are you there? I think your phone
was fading out on me. Yes, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. There you go.
Good.
Phone was fading out on me there. So sort of like the Falcons playoff chances, but skipping that, Tori. It's been a rough week from an injury standpoint for the Atlanta Falcons. Give us an update as to the biggest concerns about Sunday, about who very may well not be in uniform come Sunday to be able to play.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just the injury reports over the last couple of days and who's not been out of practice, it's funny because when I tweet out all of the reports, people are like, it's almost easier to list the people who are practicing more than the people who aren't practicing, because there are just that many guys that they just don't have out there right now. I mean, you look down the list and it's, I think I counted yesterday, it was 7 starters on defense, and you're looking at Tack McKinley, Dante Fowler, you're looking at Julio Jones. Like, these are some big names that aren't out there right now. Ricardo Allen. And it doesn't really bode well. I don't think that we didn't see many of them out there today either. I think you saw KZ out there today. Foye was back out there today. Jake Matthews was out there today, but they all were still limited. So it's not a good situation. I know that everybody's kind of taking their time, making sure that they will be ready for Sunday, but it does give me a little bit of pause, and I do think it's a little bit worrisome.
Tori, you know, Julio Jones, you know, we keep kind of watching and, you know, we're kind of told, well, you know, he I think he's okay, but, you know, you just watch him and you're kind of hearing things about maybe he's a little bit more banged up than what they're letting on. I mean, is that the sense that you get? I mean, what are you seeing out of Julio Jones as he tries to, you know, make it here these first few weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think originally when they were talking about it last week, you know, Dan Quinn was specifically asked, hey, what's your level of concern for Julio going into Sunday's game against the Cowboys? And he was like, oh, it's really low. If Julio says he's good, then we think he's good and he'll go and we'll follow him. And then he goes out there on Sunday and, you know, he has one catch for, I think, 5 yards in the first half, and then another catch in the second half, drops the pass from Russell Gage, and that was kind of it. And you did kind of see him gingerly walking around the field. And when he did drop that pass from Russell Gage, it almost kind of looked like when he got to the ground, he kind of almost went to that hamstring. So it does give you pause a little bit. And even, I think, when we were talking to Julio after the game, at first he was kind of like, yeah, no, it's just another football thing. Like, it's nothing that I can't handle. But then when later on the call, he was kind of like, yeah, no, there were some times that I couldn't run the way that I wanted to run. So now that he hasn't been out of practice all this week, and Dirk Koetter kind of saying on Monday that he does think that the hamstring was bothering him more than what he was letting on, I mean, it does kind of give you a little bit of pause and to wonder, is Julio going to be 100% going in on Sunday?
On the waitfor.com hotline, Falcons reporter for The Athletic, Torrey McElhaney, joining us here as we get ready for Falcons and Bears coming up on Sunday afternoon on your action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Torrey, it was 21 carries for Todd Gurley, so the workload increased a little bit. Kind of two parts. I mean, one is, you know, how satisfied are they with the progress of Todd Gurley and his health and fitting in this offense? And, you know, part two is, you know, this is not really a Sunday for the running game to get healthy. I mean, it's still one of the best defensive fronts, you know, in the NFL. We haven't seen a lot of Todd Gurley in the passing game thus far. Is that an aspect that they're talking about for this week? So I guess kind of two parts. How satisfied with they are with his workload and the increases, and, you know, how do they try to use him this Sunday against, you know, one of the best defenses in all the NFL?
I think to look at the first part of the question, I going back to that first game against Seattle, you know, it was so lopsided between the run and the pass game, and it was because it had to be. Like, they didn't have time to pound the ball. They didn't have time to run the ball. They didn't have time to give it to Todd Gurley, and you did see those carries increased last week. And so I do think that this past Sunday against Dallas, that it was a situation where it was like, okay, this is a little bit more normal. This is what we, as the Falcons, want to see. We want to see a more balanced attack. But at the exact same time, you kind of wanted more out of it. You wanted more out of Todd Gurley. You wanted more out of the run game. And talking to Dirk Koetter, he was saying that he felt like they were one block away on certain, like, 3, 4, 5 yard runs that could have turned into explosive runs for Todd Gurley if they get that one block. So I think that you will start seeing it maybe become a little bit more robust the more time that they have trying it out and seeing what works with Todd Gurley. And as far as maybe getting him involved in the pass game, I think I would like to see that a little bit more. I think right now Matt Ryan has a lot of really great, I mean, just look at what Calvin Ridley has been able to do over the course of the first two games of the season. He does have weapons, but I think if you look at, if Julio Jones can't go, if Julio Jones isn't at 100%, looking for Todd Gurley, looking more for Hayden Hurst is going to be a big part of maybe Sunday's game.
Torrey, it's a passing game for the Bears that, I don't know if pedestrian's a fair word. I mean, they have a very good wide receiver in Allen Robinson, but I mean, they're not a pass first kind of team the way that the Falcons are. They're not a big time passing team. Trubisky's only a 59% completion percentage for this year. But questions about Tack, questions about Dante Fowler. We saw a little bit of blitzing from his defense to get to the quarterback. Has Dan talked about the idea, or Raheem Morris talked about the idea of, you know, if those guys are beat up, banged up, and they're going to be thin at end, that they may have to try to incorporate more blitzing to get to the quarterback on Sunday?
Yeah, so we talked to Raheem a couple of days ago, and a big part of what he talked about is how inefficient, one, they are in the red zone right now, and how many explosive plays that they're giving up. And especially when you talk about the explosive plays that they're giving up, he was like, that all starts up front. It all starts with the way that we can affect the quarterback both physically and mentally. So when you think about Tack McKinley, when you think about Dante Fowler, that's those guys that you need in those situations to affect the quarterback. And if they can't go, if they're not at 100%, then that worries me. I know that you have some backups, and Grady Jarrett is going to be Grady Jarrett, and that's all well and good. But I've said this a couple times, like, you need more than Grady Jarrett right now. And originally, you know, this past Sunday, you did see Tack get after it early before he left with the groin injury. I'll be interested to see exactly how that plays out with maybe some backups in there, because I don't know if Dante Fowler, if Tack McKinley are going to be ready to go on Sunday.
Torrey, last thing for you. You know, at times it's been a house of horrors with the secondary this year. What did the coaching staff think week two versus week one as far as progression of how the corners and safeties played for this team?
Well, I think that if you look at, you know, what Russell Wilson was able to do, I mean, he had a pretty phenomenal day one of the best of his career. So it really couldn't get much worse for the secondary. Like, you look at the numbers he put up, but then you have you have Dak Prescott, who mounts this comeback, and a lot of it had to do with explosive plays with his arm. And Raheem Morris is like, give him credit for what he did, but it goes back to those explosive plays and affecting the quarterback up front, because right now they're putting a lot of pressure on a secondary that, especially those corners, are pretty young. And I think, and then the safeties are pretty beat up. Like right now, Keanu Neal, which is funny enough because of what he's had to go through with injuries over the past 2 years, he's really the only one out of the KZ and then Ricardo Allen who's really 100% healthy right now. So trying to get the pressure off of that secondary they're struggling is going to be key this Sunday.
Well, it certainly is must win. I mean, we're saying that like 2 weeks in a row now, but we really are getting to that point. So follow her on Twitter. It's at Tori_McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. We'll be talking to her on Fridays all throughout the season as we get you ready for Falcons football right here on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Tori McElhaney joined us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Tori, appreciate you jumping on this Thursday with us as we had some scheduling changes and things like that going on. But to look forward to you keeping us informed and updated all season long. So thanks for being a part of it.
For sure. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We will talk to her throughout the season. And when we get back, I got several news and nuggets and notes and things I got to get about the Atlanta Braves. A lot of storylines going on for the NL division champions for the third straight year. We'll talk some Braves baseball with you coming up next. So we head toward the top of the hour in NFL football. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Thursday evening as we head toward the top of the hour. Going to turn it over to NFL football as week three gets underway in the NFL. Jaguars and Dolphins. What is that? The AFC, is that the AFC Norris? Is that the AFC North? Or what? No, what the hell division is it? AFC, is that the AFC South? AFC South. AFC South and the AFC East. Yeah, I can't figure out all these whacked out divisions. I'm better to keep up where the Falcons are. I know who the teams are in the Falcons, but I guess they're the we're the NFC South. So 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Radio.com apps, how you catch us on the go. And, of course, social media at 929 The Game. Hit us up there and then hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, as we said, we're waiting to see Braves if they're going to get this game in tonight against the Marlins. I have not seen a start time to anything. They're in a rain delay. And as we said, if they have to make this game up for the Marlins playoffs, they said it's going to have to be made up that day off of the after the regular season is over, that off day that the National League has before they start to play. Crap on that, man. I'll forfeit the game. I'll have Luke Jackson hitting cleanup and playing first base before I get into all that kind of stuff. No thanks. No thanks whatsoever. So anyway, we'll see what happens tonight with all that. But several things that going on around the Braves. So Brian Snitker, in his pregame press conference today, talked about the fact that Max Fried, it looks like he will be ready to go for game one of the playoffs. So, you know, he tweaked that ankle yesterday. They pulled him out of the game as a precautionary measure. Of course, he was coming off some arm injury. So rather than risk anything as the playoffs are about ready to get started here, they pulled him out as a precaution. But Snitker confirming today that Max Fried will be ready for game one of the playoffs. Now, we're sure that he's going to start game one of the playoffs, right? And as ridiculous as that sounds, coming off of last year, you have to ask. Because, hell, he'll have Luke start game one. So, yeah, unfortunately, because of the sins of last year, you have to ask. Because the best pitcher for the Braves didn't start game one. The clear-cut, without question, number one starter for the Braves last year didn't start in the playoffs. Miss me with all the dumb takes as to why. Your best pitcher always starts game one. Well, unless you're the Braves. But anyway, so Max Fried will be ready to go for playoffs, and we'll see what happens there. Now, as far as that goes with Max Fried, you know, Trevor Bauer last night was fantastic. He was dealing. And I would say right now, even though Fried is 7-0, and I think he's second in the National League in wins, and I think he's third or fourth in ERA, I think legitimately right now, and Bauer, I guess, Bauer tweeted out last night, and it got everybody all riled up because he said he's the Cy Young leader. He is the Cy Young leader. You know, he leads the National League in ERA, leads the National League in – how about this? He's got a 1.73 ERA. He's averaging over 12 strikeouts per nine innings. And his record is only 5-4. And I think he's second or third in the league in innings pitched. And he's had nine quality starts this year, which I think is also the league leader as far as quality starts goes. So he leads the league in ERA, leads the league in strikeouts per nine. I think he's second or third in innings, but he's only 5-4. So that tells you a lot about the Cincinnati Reds. And that's where it becomes, okay, on one hand, do you want to play the Reds because they're not a very good offense, or do you not want to play the Reds because in a three-game set, you get Trevor Bauer and Sonny Gray, who've both been terrific this year. Bauer, like I said, I think he's the leader right now. I think Bauer's the leader for the Cy Young. I think Freddie's the leader for the MVP. I think when you look at Tatis had been the leader up until recently, but last 2 weeks, he's been dreadful, hitting like what, in the 180s? Hell, you could probably make a case that Machado has passed him by as far as the NL. I think it comes down very simply. I think it's either Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts. You know, the guy the Braves didn't want to give up a whole bunch for because it was more important to not give up prospects and money and keep Markakis and all that, you know. Is somebody going to tell me he hadn't had a good year too? Or somebody going to lie to me like they did last year with Bryce Harper as a 40-homer, you know, 34-homer, 100-and-something RBI guy? They're going to tell me he didn't have a good year, even though Bryce Harper had more home runs and RBIs than Austin Riley and Nick Markakis combined? Okay. But at least we got our one-homer right fielder instead of, you know, having Mookie Betts running around out in right field. But that hasn't tipped the balance or anything like that. But anyway, no, I'm not bitter. I'm not angry about all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I think right now Bauer is the leader in the clubhouse. When you talk about National League MVP, or sorry, National League Cy Young, with Freddie being the leader in the clubhouse for MVP. Now, tomorrow night, it was supposed to be Ian Anderson tonight. So obviously, you know, tonight could affect what goes on tomorrow. But I'm telling you right now, let's just for argument's sake, for craps and giggles' sake, say that Kyle Wright does make his start tomorrow. Can I tell you that that's the most important start of Kyle Wright's career? Not because of what it means for the Braves and Red Sox as far as how that all those two teams, where do they stand? But if you're going to try to spin to me that Kyle Wright needs to be a starter, then he better be lights out tomorrow. Because right now, as I said, I'd feel better about Fried, Ian Anderson, and I'd even let Josh Tomlin come in for one of those mini starts, see if he could get me four innings out of it. I know Kyle Wright's had two good starts, and he was terrific his last start, but his body of work for the year doesn't tell you that he's been great. If we're only going by two recent starts, then Nick Markakis shouldn't be on the playoff roster. But will he be? Of course, he'll start in right field. So if we're going off those, if we're doing that, then we need to look at everybody, don't we? So that's why I'm a little bit leery, but let's see what Kyle Wright does. This is the biggest start of his career. He wants to make a playoff start? Show me tomorrow. Or maybe Sunday now. I should say Saturday. Depending on if this game gets played or pushed back or what happens. But this start coming up for Kyle Wright is going to tell me a lot about whether or not. If he's lights out, okay. Roll the dice and see what happens. In fact, I'll go back to, I probably go Fried, Kyle Wright, and then save Ian Anderson for game three in case I'm down or in case I'm in a 1-1 situation. I'd rather have that guy and Ian Anderson ready to go for game three because I trust him more. Now, I asked this question last night on Twitter. I asked about watching Dansby and Ozzie doing their thing defensively, offensively. You know how good those two guys have been offensively. But defensively, you realize Dansby probably wins the Gold Glove this year in the National League? He's got the highest defensive war at his position. I think he leads the league in fielding percentage at his position. He's been nothing short of outstanding defensively. And Ozzie, again, I still go back to the most underrated player on this team is not Freddie Freeman. It's Ozzie Albies. And what he does both with the offense and with the glove at second base. But Dansby's been terrific this year at short, and I think very much is the leader right now in the clubhouse to win the Gold Glove at short. So the question I asked last night on Twitter, and you can give us your thoughts on my Twitter or on our text line, but is this already the best Keystone combo in the history of the Atlanta Braves? Who's the next, you know, I saw people with like Blauser and Lemmer. I saw people with Giles and Furcal. I saw people, and I think they were joking more, Glenn Hubbard and Rafael Ramirez. There ain't been no two guys in the middle of the diamond like Ozzie and Dansby already. You know, 3 years into this thing, they've never had a twosome up the middle better than those two guys. Those two guys do everything you could ask for. Power, speed, defense, can drive in runs, hit for average, get on base. And I'm really hoping that for Dansby, this is that breakout year and it carries over into next year. That all the goodwill that Dansby has created this year offensively, I hope that continues. And there is no question about the fact that the two most versatile guys they have in their lineup are Ozzie and Dansby. They can hit those guys. Want to hit them leadoff? Hit them leadoff. Want to hit them second, third, fourth, 12th, 18th, 17th? You can hit those guys anywhere. And I still like the idea in the playoffs if you told me Dansby 9, Acuna 1, Ozzie 2, and get a lot of my speed guys together that can get around the bases, score, you know, score from first on a double to the gap, score from second on a single, go first to third on a single to right field. You know, I want those guys because, listen, anything can happen, but it just doesn't normally in the playoffs. You know, like we said, take the Reds and you see Trevor Bauer and Sonny Gray. Okay, you don't normally just mash your way through all of the top guys that you're going to see. And let's say you get the Dodgers and you get Kershaw and Bueller. You don't just hammer your way through the playoffs against guys of that caliber. So you're going to have to find a way to get runs, you know, sometimes get runs without hits, avoid a lot of outs without contact. And John Smoltz, by the way, said the exact same thing I've been talking about of the Braves need to make sure when they get in the playoffs, fewer outs without contact. Put the ball in play, especially in playoff baseball. Thank you, John, for being a regular listener to this radio show. Appreciate that. All right, when we get back, it's time for the Love TKO. Going to wrap things up and hand it off to NFL football. It's all coming up next. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.